going to read a couple sections out of 1 Peter. The first chapter, beginning with the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, which though perishable, is tested by fire, may rebound to praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. As the outcome of your faith, you obtain the salvation of your souls. And then from the fifth chapter, verses 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering is required of your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the grace of God, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, tonight I'm not coming before you in the form of a holy masquerade, I hope. I'm sitting with you as fellow human beings. Suffering and with masks. And so I'm going to kind of throw the sermon onto all of you just to discuss suffering and masks. They're two different concepts completely, but yet very much dependent on one another. This is kind of a carryover from a discussion that a few of us had the other night. And I think that at Holden, we too often emphasize joy, celebration, forgetting that we are human and we do suffer. And it seems to me that we have to accept this, that we can't brainwash ourselves into thinking that, you know, life is all joy, because this isn't true, even for a Christian. And maybe kind of start off, I can give what I think, you know, what is my philosophy as far as suffering and mass. I feel that we all have masks, and that this is essential to our characters, both for our preservation and for the preservation of others. And that rather than working at removing all masks, granted there are some masks that should and can be removed, but rather we should perfect our masks. And in regard to suffering, I was reading a little Kierkegaard today, and from his work of love, he says that we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. But I disagree with Kierkegaard here, that this is to love all men. I don't think this is possible because I can't love all the modes of myself. So how can I love all men? And likewise, I feel that I have a right, this may not be correct at all, but that I have a right to inflict suffering on others, because I inflict it on myself. I don't know if this follows, but it might. And that we should view people not as a part of the universe, but as an almost another universe within a universe. So there is individuality. We aren't all just little things. We're individual concepts. So we're relating to one concept here, and to another concept here, and to another concept here, not just part of some large concept. Well, any of you have anything to say about masks or suffering?
Not being able to love all men because you can't love all things about yourself. But I wonder perhaps in this connection whether it isn't, whether we aren't dealing with love and like. There are lots of things about myself that I don't like. There are other people and things about certain other people that I don't like. But in spite of my dislike, I can still love them.
I can. Well, I think that I do this every day, perhaps. Well, you know, maybe as human beings, this is a part of us, so we do have a right. Maybe this, you know. I hurt easily, and I'm very easily hurt. Just, you know, not any physical, you know, blow or anything like that, but even just a look. Yeah, I think so, and I think that often by removing masks, we are hurt or others are hurt.
What do you mean by perfecting them? Treating others less by?
By accepting the mask, yeah. And a mask. And not getting hung up on, trying to remove them.
I suspect that there's a question of definition here what you feel and what I feel, and this relationship of right to hurt others because we hurt ourselves. There's a difference between the connotations of words and the actual definition. And sometimes they're very difficult to define or get the connotation across to someone else of what they actually mean to you as an individual. And I suspect that the net result of the relationship or the interrelationship between people are pretty much the same, whether you state in words that you have the right to hurt because you hurt yourself, rather than an actual blunt statement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we have to be a little careful on how we define these words so that we don't create the impression in other people, because they do not define the words the same way as we do.
Mm-hmm. Maybe hurt isn't the right word. Maybe suffering is a better word.
That could very well be. That is, being human, we do cause suffering in other people, as well as inflicted on ourselves by our thoughtlessness or our lack of consideration for ourselves. And we say it's true with other people. And I personally don't feel that because we do it gives us the right to do it. There again is a question of the definition of the word right. You have a right. Sometimes the term privilege is an adjunct to this word right, and that might be a better terminology. You may have the privilege.
And yet, do we have a right or a privilege when at a particular instant when you could inflict something unpleasant on another person, that instant could be a happy one too. I kind of feel that life is built up of instants.
We are in duty bound to what Christ teaches us. And because we do, he does not give us the right or the privilege of doing wrong. We do it because we're sinners, but we don't have the right in my opinion. It would be us to follow the teachings of Christ. And he said we did not, at least in any of the readings that I have been able to hear, to see or read or
Well, I don't know. He went through the temple and kicked out the money changers.
I was imagining that, and certainly some of his sermons. Yeah.
those persons from the pulpit, that I'm people can go to. They have a right to do that.
Maybe it's not such a right as a part of human nature to do it. I can find by accepting itself, in the connotation of what they may not be right, in your own rationalization might be acceptable.
I don't think we should say that he hurts those people though. Or like there's a special thing about like making people considerate, you know, people, other people will be the way we'll measure what we do instead of God or Jesus being the way we measure our actions. You know, if we say, well, do we hurt someone else by doing this, then we're making other people our God. And that we measure our actions against that, rather than whether we say it's just, you know, an action going on down here in Christ part.
Well, I... I think that the only way we can know God is through other people. Our spiritual or Christian commitment doesn't take place or take form in a vacuum, except in our mind. I meant.
When you said inflict suffering on other people, did you mean intentionally inflict suffering on other people?
No.
After kicking it around, the right that you were referring to sounds like the part of right doing. But say we have to be a little careful about how we find that we really don't become too pharisaical about it. But I guess I have to agree with Terry in that standpoint that we do have a right, that is, we have a duty to inflict hurt in certain cases, as Tony would bring it out on other people.
I think at times this can be intentional and should be, if it works together for the good, whatever that is. You know, like Carol says, anything can be done in the name of love, and that's really true. If you can inflict suffering on somebody in the name of love, true love, fine. Yes, yeah, this is this. It has to be in love. And as far as the you know, this void of suffering within ourselves. Maybe this is where the Holy Spirit, whatever that is, you know, pierces through and fills up this void. Anybody have any hymns they want to sing?
I was thinking before you go off, you're supposed to love everybody. Maybe we make love too small, and that Christ is mean it. Small way to love. Means it more as an acceptance. Everyone is a creation of His. Maybe the acceptance of that. And then the suffering that we sometimes inflict is. Because we're unaware or they're unaware of those deficiencies they have, and sometimes we have to impose these things on them so they say, try and lighten them. Now, it's meant to like everybody through their communication. But except for the creature, the new creation, what I think we need is loving them.
Yeah. It's also interesting that God reveals Himself to us with masks. I mean, God has masks, three of them. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Two fifty-six.